Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to begin with to look in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Verses 14 through 23, Luke chapter 4. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who permeates your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us, empowers us, directs us, and empowers, helps us to be the vessels you desire that we be. Fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord. Help us to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And more and more, teach us how to jump in the river of your Holy Spirit and flow with you for your glory, and to be vessels through which you can accomplish your perfect will on a daily basis. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the gospel. Thank you so much for the good news. Thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, and your peace. Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus and that Jesus has freed us from the kingdom of darkness to be able to access your holy kingdom. Thank you so much, Father, for being a good king, a righteous king who leads us in the ways of life. And thank you so much that in your kingdom we can find rest. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are very honored to have with us in studio for this segment Carol Ward. Carol is a missionary, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, amongst other things, and she's the director of the ministry, Favor International. Carol, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Honored to have you today, and we had the privilege of hearing you speak and share from your heart in our devotion this morning, and you're sharing about just some of the kingdom adventures and exploits the Lord has done through you. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and Favor International?
Yes, I grew up in the midst of terrorism in the Philippine jungles where ISIS was very, very heavily at work. Many missionaries evacuated and were executed and kidnapped. And I was a kid, and their children were my playmates. I didn't know to be afraid because my father wasn't. He was a man of prayer. He's a man of prayer and fasting, and he loved the people that were after his head for 45 years. He never left. He was a Bible translator, and I grew with a passion to fulfill the heart of God for unreached people. All of us are here on earth for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And as Jesus went back to heaven and he gave his disciples a commission, meaning doing it together, go into all the world and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And he said, baptize, teach. He said that in Matthew 28, Mark 16. He said he leaves 99 to go after one. And those things were burned in me as a child, as well as the power of prayer. So 22 years ago, I was called to go to Africa, and I had prayed, send me where no one wants to go. Mm-hmm. You know, the verse we just read about Luke 4, and the Spirit of God being on us for the purpose mm-hmm. of setting captives free, for the purpose of healing the brokenhearted, mm-hmm. for the purpose of declaring the acceptable year of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit empowers us for the purposes of heaven. He works through prayer, and mm-hmm. he prays through us, as Romans 8 says. So I was praying and groaning, really, for nations that didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. I had no idea I would ever be going to them, but 9 out of 10 missionaries goes where Jesus is preached. One goes to the unreached, and there are millions who have never heard his name. Those are the captives who are to set free. So I went to Africa 22 years ago. I was invited to go to the north during a war zone, mm-hmm. put my face to the ground and start praying. It's all mm-hmm. I knew to do. Mm-hmm. And then held a national prayer gathering, put it on the radio, invited, thousands came to have an...
In a Muslim country.
In a Muslim country, war zone. Mm-hmm. It's not as Muslim as Chad, where I'm living now, mm-hmm. but it was a war zone that came through bullets to do 2 Chronicles 7:14. If mm-hmm. my people called by my name, humble, pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I'll heal the land. God stopped the war. Mm.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Would you take, Sister Carrie, would you take a moment now to pray for the prayer lives of listeners? You know, you mentioned, you said you went to that country, put your face to the ground and prayed, and God instructed you and equipped you to do what he called you to do. How important for us to grasp that, in a sense, that's basically what he calls all of us to do, to seek his face, get our yes. instructions, allow him to equip us in the yes. power of the Holy Spirit and go forward. Would you pray for the prayer lives of listeners? Yes.
Lord, I thank you so much that you paid the price to rend the veil into the Holy of Holies so we can come before you freely, as you said, come. When you have a need, and find mercy and help. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for that privilege. I thank you for the access into intimacy we have. And I pray for everyone hearing today that Revelations 3:20 would be real to them. You stand at our heart's door just to have communion and intimacy and fellowship with us. And that, Lord, everyone that hears you knocking at any time would say, yes, Lord, and begin communing, talking to you as a friend. And I pray, Lord, that you would begin drawing them from intimacy to intercession, to stand in the gap for prodigals that don't know you, broken homes and broken families, broken children who don't know their identity, lives without Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that they would learn intercession birthed by the Holy Spirit that would become interception against the plans and attacks of the enemy in our nation. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to draw each listener into a deeper place of intimacy and intercession with you, and on the behalf of hurting people and our own nation, as well as others. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Carol, you shared this morning some about just some of your journey in following the Lord, and I think it'd be accurate to say that God, by his grace, has used you to do kingdom exploits basically wherever you go. And you have 2 different books. The first one is entitled Send Me Where No One Wants to Go, the Carol Ward story. The second book is entitled Lord, Send Us Where No One Wants to Go. The Great Commission continues the Carol Ward story. What would you say to challenge other believers to recognize that there are many ways in which your calling is the calling of every believer in their own sphere of where he's called them to?
We all have a mission, and that's why God gave us the great commission, Jesus, before he left earth. We were created in his image, and we were created to carry on what he started on the cross. He paid for every man's redemption and salvation, including our prodigals, including prostitutes, drug addicts, murderers, identity crisis, people, everything. And our calling is to fulfill that mission. If it's your job, it's your mission field. Mm-hmm. And you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you ask him, mm-hmm. to be witnesses in your Jerusalem, which is your community, your neighborhood, your workplace, your Judea, which is probably your city, your state, your Samaria, which is the nation, and then the ends of the earth. And all of us are missionaries because you're here with a mission and a mandate.
Would you pray for listeners to really walk that out, to grasp that, yes, we are all missionaries with a serious calling to be empowered by the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Lord, I just pray that you would wake us up to the hope of our calling, yes, to know our identity in you so we know our destiny for you. And that, Lord, we would not live just for ourselves, but realize, Lord, that sin is at epidemic levels, snatching people into darkness and hell that are crying out deep within them, who can show me the truth? Even Muslims, they want to know the truth, our neighbors, our children. And Lord, we're here on assignment. We're here as ambassadors and representatives of the kingdom of heaven. And we have the answer that they are looking for. Every person we meet every day either needs Jesus or needs more of you. So I pray that, Lord God, we would open our mouth up and just simply share our faith, our testimony. Do you know the Jesus I know? Or just ask, how can I pray for you? And sometimes people start weeping because they're waiting for somebody to love them enough to pray for them. Help us to be the answer to someone else's prayers, praying for prodigals and lost. Use each person we pray to be a voice for the vision you left us with, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And Sister Carol, our time is almost gone. One more prayer. Would you pray for believers to be set on fire with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship that God desires that they live and walk in?
Yes. Lord Jesus, I just pray Leviticus 6:13, that there would be fire upon the altar of each person's heart. And Lord, that begins in the closet. That begins with intimacy. You said, close the door, go in secret, and I will reward you openly. And Lord, that baptism of fire from the heart outward, I just pray that it would just consume us with a passion. As Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. I pray for the fire that Jeremiah said, I have fire in my mouth and fire in my bones, and he couldn't keep quiet. That there would be a baptism of vision, of passion for your kingdom, for your people, a baptism of the fire of the Holy Spirit, to be vibrant witnesses and prayer warriors, to live in victory in every situation, whether it's a battle at home or with family or marriage or any kind of a situation they might find themselves in. Take them in to a fresh baptism of your fire, where, Lord, you are ever present in the time of need, and you're using them with a compelling heart and a compelling voice, not to keep silent, but to pray effectively, fervently, for that situation, and pray into it, and then be feet to their face, and be obedient to speak, to go, to love, to give, to share, whatever you lead them to do. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So give them fresh baptisms, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Carol, if someone wants to learn more about your ministry, how can they do that?
They can go to the website at www.favorintl.org.
Amen. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up. Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough.
walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. 'Cause all I know, all I know, is you're my only hope.
Music of Toby Mac with I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, it was our privilege to have in the first segment Sister Carol Ward, a woman who's given herself to the Lord Jesus Christ and is a missionary on the field doing exploits as she follows the Lord and moves in the power and the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Again, the name of her two books are Send Me Where No One Wants to Go, the Carol Ward story. And her second book is Lord, Send Us Where No One Wants to Go. So again, hope that you'll look into getting both books. I think both of them have exciting stories and accounts of her adventures as she does exploits in the kingdom of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 24, picking up at verse 20. These were the other family leaders descended from Levi, from the descendants of Amram, the leader of Shebuel. The leader was Shebuel. From the descendants of Shebuel, the leader was Jediah. From the descendants of Rahabiah, the leader was Ishiah. From the descendants of Izhar, the leader was Shelomith. From the descendants of Shelomith, the leader was Jahath. From the descendants of Hebron, Jeriah was the leader. Amariah was the second. Jahaziel was third. And Jekameam was fourth. From the descendants of Uziel, the leader was Micah. From the descendants of Micah, the leader was Shamir, along with Ishiah, the brother of Micah. From the descendants of Ishiah, the leader was Zechariah. From the descendants of Merari, the leaders were Mali and Mushai. From the descendants of Jaaziah, the leader was Beno. From the descendants of Merari, through Jaaziah, the leaders were Beno, Shoham, Zakur, and Ibri. From the descendants of Mali, the leaders were Eleazar, though he had no sons. From the descendants of Kish, the leader was Jeramiel. From the descendants of Mushai, the leaders were Malai, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the descendants of Levi in their various families. Like the descendants of Aaron, they were assigned to their duties by means of sacred lots, without regard to age or rank. Lots were drawn in the presence of King David. Zadok, Ahimelech, and the family leaders of the priests and the Levites. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. David and the army commanders then appointed men from the families of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun to proclaim God's messages to the accompaniment of lyres, harps, and cymbals. Here is a list of their names and their work. From the sons of Asaph, there were Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asarela. They worked under the direction of their father Asaph, who proclaimed God's messages by the king's orders. From the sons of Jeduthun, there were Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, Mattathiah, six in all. They worked under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who proclaimed God's messages to the accompaniment of the lyre, offering thanks and praise to the Lord. From the sons of Heman, There were Berechiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shubael, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliatha, Gitaltai, Romam Tai-Ezer, Joshpikasha, Malathai, Hother, and Mahaziath. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, for God had honored him with 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these men were under the direction of their fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Excuse me, reading that verse again. All these men were under the direction of their fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Their responsibilities included the playing of cymbals, harps, and lyres at the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman reported directly to the king. They and their families were all trained in making music before the Lord, and each of them, 288 in all, was an accomplished musician. The musicians were appointed to their term of service by means of sacred lots, without regard to whether they were young or old, teacher or student. The first lot fell to Joseph of the Asaph clan and 12 of his sons and relatives. The second lot fell to Gedaliah and the 12 of his sons and relatives. The third lot fell to Zakur and 12 of his sons and relatives. The fourth lot fell to Zerai and 12 of his sons and relatives. The fifth lot fell to Nethaniah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The sixth lot fell to Bukiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The seventh lot fell to Esarela and 12 of his sons and relatives. The eighth lot fell to Jeshiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The ninth lot fell to Mattaniah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The tenth lot fell to Shimei and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 11th lot fell to Uziel and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 12th lot fell to Hashabiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 13th lot fell to Shubael and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 14th lot fell to Mattathiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 15th lot fell to Jeremoth and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 16th lot fell to Hananiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 17th lot fell to Joshbekasha and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 18th lot fell to Hanani and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 19th lot fell to Malathai and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 20th lot fell to Eliatha and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 21st lot fell to Hother and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 22nd lot fell to Gidalti and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 23rd lot fell to Mahazioth and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 24th lot fell to Romamtai-Ezer and 12 of his sons and relatives. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. These are the divisions of the gatekeepers. From the Korahites, there was Meshelemiah, son of Korah, of the family of Abiasaph. The sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah, the oldest, Jediel, the second, Zebediah, the third, Jothniel, the fourth, Elam, the fifth, Jehohanan, the sixth, and Eliahoenai, the seventh. The sons of Obed-Edom, also gatekeepers, were Shemaiah, the oldest, Jehozabad, the second, Joah, the third, Sakar the fourth, Nathanael the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, and Peuel Thi and Peuele Thi the eighth. God had richly blessed Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom's son, Shemaiah, had sons with great ability who earned positions of great authority in the clan. Their names were Othni, Raphael, Rephael, Obed, and Elzabad. Their relatives Elihu and Semachiah were also very capable men. All of these descendants of Obed-Edom, including their sons and grandsons, 62 of them all, were very capable men, well qualified for their work. Meshelemiah's 18 sons and relatives were also very capable men. Hosa of the Merari clan appointed Shemir as the leader among his sons, though he was not the oldest. His other sons included Hilkiah the second, Tabaliah the third, and Zechariah the fourth. Hosa's sons and relatives, who served as gatekeepers, numbered 13 in all. These divisions of the gatekeepers were named for their family leaders, and like the other Levites, they served at the house of the Lord. They were assigned by families for guard duty at the various gates without regard to their age or training, for it was all decided by means of sacred lots. The responsibility for the east gate went to Meshelemiah and his group. The north gate was assigned to his son, Zechariah, a man of unusual wisdom. The south gate went to Obed-Edom, and his sons were put in charge of the storehouse. Shupim and Hosa were assigned to the west gate and the gateway leading up to the temple. Guard duties were divided evenly. 6 Levites were assigned each day to the east gate, 4 to the north gate, 4 to the south gate, and 2 pairs at the storehouse. 6 were assigned each day to the west gate, 4 to the gateway leading up to the temple, and 2 to the courtyard. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers from the clans of Korah and Merari. Other Levites, led by Ahijah, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the gifts dedicated to the Lord. From the family of Libni, in the clan of Gershon, Jehiel was the leader. The sons of Jehiel, Zatham and his brother Joel, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of the Lord. These are the leaders that descended from Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. From the clan of Amram, Shebuel was a descendant of Gershom. From the clan of Amram, Shebuel was a descendant of Gershom, son of Moses. He was the chief officer of the treasuries. His relatives through Eleazar were Rechabiah, Jeshiah, Joram, Zerai, and Shelemoth. Shelemoth and his relatives were in charge of the treasuries containing the gifts that King David, the family leaders, and the generals and captains, and other officers of the army had dedicated to the Lord. These men dedicated some of the plunder they had gained in battle to maintain the house of the Lord. Shelemoth and his relatives also cared for the gifts dedicated to the Lord by Samuel the seer, Saul son of Kish, Abner son of Ner, and Joab son of Zeruiah. All the other dedicated gifts were in their care too. From the clan of Izhar came Cananiah. He and his sons were given administrative responsibilities over Israel as officials and judges. From the clan of Hebron came Hashabiah. He and his relatives, 1,700 capable men, were put in charge of the Israelite lands west of the Jordan River. Verses 1 through 30, 1 Chronicles chapter 26. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up in the New Testament, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fall but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things. Even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught, it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, in gloomy pits of darkness, where they are being held until the day of judgment. And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. But the angels, who are far greater in power and strength, But the angels, who are far greater in power and strength, Do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They have wandered off the right road and followed the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb: a dog returns to its vomit, and another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Verses 1 through 2. 2 Peter chapter 3. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege, the honor, the blessing we have of being able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of blessing, words of life, grace, peace, and strength into our lives. What a privilege it is, what an honor, what a blessing, and what a responsibility it is for us to take the time to read and meditate on your word and give you the opportunity to mold us, to shape us, to help us to become more and more like you. Lord, help us to grow tremendously in our understanding of how valuable our time in your word is. Help us to recognize, Lord, that in the midst of a busy world with so many things to do, this needs to be our high priority, spending time with you every day in your word. Help us to make it the priority you would have us to make it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the word of God, as we usually do. If you are listening today and you know you have never made the extremely important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. Lord, you lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to faithfully seek you in prayer daily. Help me to live what I learn from your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please be sure and make that contact and get in touch with us. Email again, joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Once again, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start the very valuable habit of reading no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God every day. Parents, having your children to read 3 chapters out loud to you daily is an extremely super blessed and fruitful habit that'll bless your child, bless you, and bless your home. Hope you'll start that today as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.